welcome to Greenlight Bookstore. We're excited to host tonight's event with CLMP to celebrate their program, Face Out. Poets Rosamond S. King, Anne Lai, Selena Sue, and Samantha Ziegelboim will be reading from their work. They'll be introduced shortly. Before I turn things over to them, just a couple of housekeeping things. If you could take this moment to turn off or silence your cell phones. There's a wine reception in the back following the event, generously provided by CLMP. Though our poets mostly have forthcoming publications, we do have one book for sale at the Register by Rosamond S. King, Rock Salt Stone, and it is for sale at the Register, and Rosamond will sign after. When you buy a book from us, you're not only supporting your local independent bookstore, but you're also allowing us to keep providing you with free events like this one. So thank you. This is our last event of the year. Thank you for your continued support. Our programming will resume in January. CLMP, the Community of Literary Magazines and Presses, is an organization of hundreds of small publishers creating print and digital books, magazines, online publications, chapbooks, and zines who have come together to do their work as publishers better and to organize around a shared set of beliefs. Originally founded in 1967 as the Coordinating Council of Literary Magazines, CLMP ensures the vitality of small literary publishers and communicates the art of literary publishing to readers, writers, booksellers, librarians, educators, funders, and other literary stakeholders. They believe small publishers make up an underserved, uniquely vulnerable, and essential field that connects the greatest diversity of writers to equally diverse communities of readers. Jeffrey Leppendorf, Executive Director of CLMP, will now speak about the Face Out program.
Thanks so much. We are so thrilled to be here at Greenlight. It's doubly nice when indies can support indies. So please buy Rosamond's book tonight and then come back and buy all the other books when they come out. They're all coming out in the spring. I just want to say the briefest of words about the Face Out program. The full name is Face Out, Maximizing the Visibility of Emerging Writers. And these writers have all really emerged, but hopefully partly and thanks to this program, which has been going on for 10 years, but the poets and publishers are celebrating tonight are concluding the two-year iteration of it. And the basic thesis of it is that publishing is a partnership activity. And so we try to bring authors together with their publishers and offer some money, which is nice, and offers some workshops and skills and help so that they can work better in partnership so that you lucky readers get to read these wonderful books that we have seen. Lucky us. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our first publisher, and then the program will continue all by itself. And then I hope you'll join us for some wine in the back. I do also want to thank, because this couldn't happen without them, a couple of funders who made this program possible. In particular, the Jerome Foundation, who've supported us from the beginning, and we've also had a bit of additional support from the New York Community Trust. So we're very grateful to them. And we're grateful to all of you for being here tonight. And now without further ado, it's my great pleasure to bring up Stephen Rotica, publisher of Nightboat Books.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Stephen. I do publish Nightboat Books, and it's really exciting that Rosamond S. King is here and her beautiful book is in the world, Rock Salt Stone. So I encourage you to check it out after you are blown away by her reading. It's a book that's elemental and psych and performative, and it's a book that taught me so much about what we hear in English every day. I want to thank Jeffrey and Natalie and David and Allison and Montana of CLMP for being so gracious to us publishers. And thanks to Greenlight for hosting us, and thrilled to be in partnership with the other great presses and authors. And I think I'll stop there and welcome up Rosamond King.
The book is real! Name withheld. According to an official source, according to Name Withheld, a research company, according to someone who spoke on the condition of anonymity, according to a source close to the president, according to friends and acquaintances who have known the accused a long time, According to a woman who did not wish to reveal her name. According to a man who identified himself only as Stumpy. According to documents obtained by this poem. According to unidentified sources quoted in other media. According to leading analysts. According to industry experts. According to a company executive. According to industry insiders. According to campaign staffers. According to someone in a position to know. Thank you so much to CLMP. I think it says something that this grant program that they run, they chose presses that chose poets who are almost exclusively women and or queer and or people of color. So I really appreciate the work that they've been doing to help us emerge into the world. And thank you so much to Stephen and everybody at Night Boat for putting out work like mine and so much other work that I admire. You woke up yesterday and did not expect to die. So of course the night seemed different, smiling. Before sleeping you sighed, and then. Tomorrow you will look in a glass and nearly trip, startled by your own beauty, outlined by the sun. This poem has an epigraph by Zora Neale Hurston. I love myself when I am laughing, and then again when I am looking mean and impressive. I love myself when I... You didn't think I could do it, did you? You thought I was hard, like stone, mean, like rock candy, mean. Thought you could melt. Watch out, because I love myself. I love myself. I love myself when I am, and then again, I love myself when I am looking. Bottle holds milk, bottle like a breast, oblong bottle, give bottle to baby, baby suck, bottle baby drink milk from bottle like a breast, baby suck, bottle oblong bottle holds milk. Experiments in spell check. We have a lot of writers in the room of various kinds. If you interrogate what happens in the PSAT, you will be able to predict the futur. Her genus lies in the fact that her writing perfectually invects the reader in. Sick, dangling preparation. Are you cop dependent? Take these supple testes and keep track of your scare. It is ridiculous to write this as prose, but the assay is paid more than the verso. If it's not a prose poom, is it less experimental, avant-garde, innovative, and market-able? Didn't be too heard on the yokes in charge. They are just weeping the fits of their Labradors. Thank you for laughing. Such a super poetry, like, don't laugh. Thank you. And just two more poems that are from a series called The Shadow Poems.
Me belly full, but I hungry.
The poem, Reaching. You, no. Me, no. Us, yes. We, then. Who, with you, not me. In the absence of me, you.
Already cook, but de food not enough.
In the absence of us, me.
The rain I fall, but the dirty tongue.
Rethink. Who are you to say? Absolutely. If no, yes, I alone craving. Belly, food, rock stone, ground. Yours truly, rain, giving blood. The poem blinged out. Flash, shine, belly full but hungry. Tattooed lips and twirled up hair. This is me in Lagerfeld. This is me in Versace. And we'll keep going till 6 in the morning. Flash, shine. Blood is for veins, asphalt, metal, and leather. This is me, Flash. This is me in shine. Thank you so much.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alan Felsenthal. I'm half of the Song Cave. Ben Estes is the other half. And thank you to CLMP for your support. And I'm here to introduce Anne Lai. In Anne Lai's poems, From What Tends Apart, words tend to part from themselves. For example, the word forgive gets split into sections in order to render an overly used word unfamiliar. Homonyms abound, and the sound of words is always ready to mimic an instrument, like a player piano, as though each word corresponds to a note. Here, hearing is as important as seeing, and light is a primary concern of these poems. In the beautiful pamphlet, See Blue, the title, See Blue, is the instruction. The words are printed in baby blue, so light on some pages that your eyes must strain to see them. But the reward of Lai's work is always worth it. Her new poems present a light-sensitive history from 1727 to the present, a refracting vision in 21st century, and create their own sense of time through the act of noticing. Anne Lai has received a Dickinson House Writing Fellowship in 2015 and was an emerging poet's fellow at Poets House in 2016. The Song Cave is honored to be able to publish her new work in a forthcoming chapbook to be published in 2018. Please help me welcome Anne Lai.
Thanks, Jeffrey. So I'm a low talker. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. Thank you, Alan. This program, and thank you, CLMP, this program has been really great for me. One of them being able to get closer with my publisher as friends. I realized that could come out wrong, but it's really fantastic. And to be with a cohort of other small press and small press authors has been really amazing over a 2-year period, so thank you. So I'll be reading a little bit from this chapbook, and it's still in draft form, so if you don't particularly like it, it could be better. So, okay, and I have kind of an NPR voice, so I don't have Rosamond's performative. Okay. I felt this before. Oh, where was it? It's going and gone. I knew it. The poor memory of mine getting poorer. Do you ever think about past lives, not just for cats, but for all us beings too? Them lives following the same general route, but chance and circumstance varying each go around? Just imagine that. Look here, have I felt this before? Or is a part of me and a part of you, with you just reflecting back? And that's what's going on. We're made of the same stuff, you know. I don't see what's so different between us. I'm sensitive and you're sensitive, so who discovered whom? But I know you're going to outlast me, I think. I mean, at least in this particular life. And I can't shake this feeling. But I recognize you from somewhere before in this life. Am I making sense? You got me thinking again, and well, that's another dimension. To descend a staircase, ascend defeat, her automating nerves too numb to reach, chewing overhead fluorescence, the is going to was again, landing on all fours. Her enclosed living being, modeled after rib beaming, structures slip due north easy breeze, her fingers feeling walls for a light switch. She grew out of practice and accidental loss, stressing from examples, endurance for what? Her operating nonsense to become a tired looking glass in transit, a refracting vision in 21st century, a slow blinding account, copying notes from systems who seem to know better. Sometimes, before her slip to sleep, just a moment, she thought, there's still life to see. A field radiant, filled with one hopping rabbit, to follow all over with a pair of gibbons going. It is, it was, it will be, a return route to promise in light of poetry. That is, noticing firming glassed shadow graphs whose memory appears as if divine record, an incidental reading writ in kind. The first per se sighting, history's witness, was seen unfixed in 1727, a professor, but surely somebody noticed before he did, like now. These joints of gelatin, the sensitive paper layer, thought rabbit, one can make a relation between two, three, or more. Those neurons are hopping all over. These are light marks on her cellular process, building up to matter, of mind on mass with hold and give. There's a threshold embodied, internal and shapeless. This chance life evolves one and the many reasoning based off today's estimates in length, array, returns, her word for words, her perfect power redoubles eternally as flames spread by reading. These are life structures, those photons holding hands with like structures. They say a way of living through conditions in relation to matter matters. She found herself more akin to a processor, a solar system, held it till portable, perhaps generational. These, this picture, that's a body busy processing the outside in. Cells copying a reading, a writing, a revising of within, with her mindfully pulling the plate, youthful of promise, recalling one's own early era, skipping the small talk and making up her mind, her words as she goes. If revelations are not to exactitude, but made from imaginary revolutions, then it is a matter of operating her internal staircase to step in timely postures of self-inquiry, such as, is this muscle or bone, a knot, a tender tendon, the nerve of nerves, that is one deep tissue to put her finger on. Shoot, they're hopping all over, not being entirely helpful, taking her breath with them. Where is that rabbit? She can barely seem to distinguish its ears from greenery, her body relates. In fact, her shadow projected alongside the corn, flax, wheat, potato fields. Somebody cut all them chamomile down since yesterday. That's what she saw. Noticing how whether or not condition her thoughts, her matter of facts, waving, surroundings, return looking for, her solitude singing, oh clarity, clarity, hallelujah. her sight lines widening, a common development around this town, spotted dust coats, everyone's specks settling in her world and each other's, edges, corners, and pockets closing in on what's self-evident. Her knowledge happening, a growing resonance, warm enough to get through winter. This is photography in a sense. Thank you.
Our next reader is Selena Su. Su was born in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and lives in Brooklyn, New York. Her first book of poetry, Landia, will be published by Belladonna in spring 2018. Her publications include two poetry chapbooks, three books on the politics of social policy and civil society, and pieces in journals such as N+1, Harper's, Aufgabe, and Action Yes. Su is the Marilyn J. Gittel Chair in Urban Studies and an Associate Professor of Political Science at the City University of New York. Please join me in welcoming to the stage Selena Su.
Thank you so much to CLMP, to Belladonna, to Greenlight, and to all of you for being here. It's such a pleasure to be here. So I'm going to read just a few poems from the book Landia, which revolves around both figurative and literal borderlands and in-between places. And the first one is called At the Bus Shelter. But before I start reading it, I could say that for whatever reason, I like collecting. Is this better? Okay. For whatever reason, I like collecting phrases for so-so-ness, meh, mediocrity, and so más o menos, como si, como sa. I noticed that a lot of them have compounds in Mandarin. You can say mama, hoo hoo, which means horse, horse, tiger, tiger. Don't ask me why. But then I worked for a while in Thailand, and I was struck by the fact that there, it's a different set of animals. Nu, nu, blah, blah, fish, snake, snake, fish, fish, for the same thing. But my favorite phrase for this sentiment is also from Thai. It's mai ben sabarot. It's not pineapple, because pineapples are fucking awesome. So I just wanted to give you that little bit. Okay, so at the bus shelter. We are neither here nor there. We are horse, horse, tiger, tiger. We are snake, snake, fish, fish. We're more or less. We're like this, like that. We're so-so. We're not pineapple, nor the apples of anyone. Our eyes are not windows, and our souls are not bread. Our hands wave royally. This is no sleight of hand. Because I'm left-handed, gauche, but not sinister. The still damp ink of each word I write smears as my hand skims the paper to write the next word. More than fingerprints, the printer's mark of the side of my hand a signature. More than joy or anguish, except perhaps hunger or ennui or saudade, that we are living as if we're not quite alive. We are marginalia. We lie between the lines, the fine print of our social contracts. Our votes are not cast, but one day our children will be special electorates. We hear they'll go to a special college. We are soaring American. We are standing united. We're going transcontinental. Between points A and B, we pray to the Oracle of Delta. this next poem is called Trap Streets, which are streets that cartographers make up and put into maps, and some people are excited, which makes me excited. We can recursively go on and on. They're streets that they make up and put into maps to catch other cartographers or map makers just copying and pasting rather than doing the footwork to go to a place and map it out. So, trap streets. A map is not the territory, but it becomes so over time. Just north of Roscoe, New York, the cartographers Otto G. Lindberg and an assistant, Ernest Alpers, named the town of Aglo after an anagram of their initials. Rand McNally subsequently included their fantasy town in its roadmaps too. Its company surveyors clearly copying and pasting too motionless to plot the area themselves. But the existence of the town of Aglo, the courts deemed, is a non-copyrightable fact. Finders keepers, they begged, and we mixed our labor with the soil. It was too late. The local Exxon was only too keen on naming itself after this fantastical place at the intersection of Highway 206 and Morton Hill Road. We lay down these lines in green as camouflage to catch others in the act of mimicry. These two essences of blending, in labor, in yearning, in naming our new little bodega after what we read in books, coloring just outside the lines. We meant it only as a quirk, a splash of color, a tribute to an old flame, our fingerprints, our football rivalries, our silent aspirations. But our most personal rituals and customs become codified on customs forms, our duty-bound friendships are duty-free only in liquor shops at the border. To become legible, he whispered, is to be tamed into a taxable animal. A state of emergency is no state of exception. This law envelops us in its warm, soft statutes, looking out onto the horizon for the there. But New Caledonia appears only on Google Earth, despite Captain James Cook's claims. Its longitude and latitude warn us of volcanoes, of Tonga, of what we claim to know. I'm going to read a poem about another in-between place, airports. This one is called JFK Airport. And I'm going to read most, not all of it. I am delayed. I am canceled. I have a license. I have a passport. The picture is mine. I come in good faith. She is my bona fide, blood filial, my only. I have no other names. Here is the stamp. I have this hologram. I have a destination. I speak some Spanish because the signature is mine. I have a sense of direction. I have a purpose. I was born there because I have a spleen to vent. I'm willing myself to remember the physical sensation called homecoming, called homesickness. I am an assemblage of maybes. I must run to the gate. Please let me through. I will become. I have an appointment to keep. Here on the eastern tip of the Brooklyn-Queens border, even after each new court injunction against 45's travel ban, the guards operate as if we lurk in, but not of, America. Supermodernity is under constant renovation. My inalienable right to refuse police access to my phone has dissipated into the dry airport air. This is a port of entry to the possibilities of free trade zones, special superior political zones. I brace myself for extra questioning each time I re-enter the US. Fear shoots a prickly pain down my legs. One day it'll knock me to the floor, pleading ignorance or exhaustion or I first arrived on a Pan Am flight. I thought of it as liberatory, a fugitive glimpse of a utopian city world where I could discard rules and scripts my scraping by. As if I could get unsituated, this airport a bubble hovering in a void between celestial bodies, in but not of the country I stand in. And I'm going to end with just the first few stanzas of a poem called 22. His ardor turned into an antelope-shaped ice sculpture, its taste and shape memorialized at film festivals all over Spain. Hers fossilized into ambivalent scorn, trapped under a notebook in Arkansas. Whenever you wish to, you may conjure me. If I were little besides these digital images, serving as half-erased traces of whatever latest or oldest interpretation you attempt to inscribe in pixelated ink. Global landscapes are not altered alone or via central planning. Think of the big bowl in Brasilia, the Cross Bronx Expressway, the route between kitchen and bathroom where you live. I see the steps we have taken. Our gloves sit listlessly at the bottoms of our drawers, bins, knapsacks. My hands are frostbitten. His bear the burns from last summer. Still, this is migration. This is the making of homes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Iris Cushing. I'm an editor for Argos Books, and I'm here to introduce Samantha Ziegelboyne, and I would like to start with reading a few lines from one of her poems in her book, The Fat Sonnets, which is coming out from Argos in 2018. The new millennium says we can all love ourselves, and it's kind of funny when it doesn't happen. We can coin terms and write definitions, but we don't believe our own bullshit. I am very charming sometimes. I chose those lines because I think Samantha is very charming much of the time, and that charm comes from her sharpness and incisiveness and unflinching kind of intelligence vis-a-vis the world that we inhabit and the way that it treats us. This is an intelligence that I encountered in her years and years ago when we were in Monica de la Torre's Spanish literature class together.
Yes.
And then over the years, as I got to know her as a translator of the brilliant Costa Rican poet Luis Chavez, and just as a thinker and as a presence. So when we got the opportunity to publish her book through this CLMP grant, I was really, really, I felt like this kind of, it was this cosmic kind of coming together. And I'm so grateful to CLMP and to Jeffrey and Montana and Natalie and David for making it happen, and to Samantha for blessing us with her brilliant book, The Fat Sonnets, which I can't wait to bring out to the world. So, Samantha Ziegelboyne.
Oh, man. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Iris. That was generous as fuck. Thank you, everyone. Greenlight, CLMP, Argos, I adore you. Thank you for holding the space for these little poems of mine. I'm going to start with the first poem in the book. It's called Offering. Here are our shadow box stomachs, our hexed esophagi. Here are our secret collarbones, our stretch marks. We offer you the thin ghosts we have kept in us all our tired years. Release them. This next poem I've never actually read out loud because it has no punctuation and it's this kind of relenting list, but I'm going to do it anyway, so here it goes. It's called Imagine How Perfect You'll Be When It's Over. The no-carb diet, the juicing diet, the cabbage soup diet, the one day, one week, one month master cleanse, all your mom's diets, friends' diets, doctor's diets, the everyone does it diet, the it will be worth it diet, the laxatives, the appetite suppressants, the dehydration, the starving, the binges, the fingers, the raw throat, the palpitations, the burst capillaries, totally normal until it's not. Replace electrolytes, lose electrolytes, replace, then lose, then replace, then lose. But keep gaining, keep fattening faithfully. Keep going back to the beginning, the guilt, the bread, the cakes, the well-intentioned suggestions, the fantasies entertained, the liposuction, the tummy tuck, the stomach stapling, the reconstructive surgery, all that skin, all that space, always there, always more to fill, always the too much. Whew. This next poem is called All She Knew. My mother said, when I eat too much, I can't breathe. So she stopped eating. It was all she knew to do. Once she was on this diet where she only ate bowls of sliced strawberries steeped in skim milk, sprinkled with a single packet of Sweet and Low. I tried it and thought it was sort of like a milkshake. She said, "Here's what happened to me. Don't let it happen to you." So I stopped letting the boys touch my new breasts and was always afraid. She left a box of tampons on my bed with a note that said, "Welcome to the club." It was all she knew to do. I ate ice cream and grilled cheese. She said, "What's happening to your body? It happened to mine too. Hold yourself in. Lock yourself in the bathroom. Never eat at dinner." It was all she knew to do. This next poem is called Mundus Edibilis, which in Latin means the edible world. It's a phrase I stole from Charles Lamb and his wonderful essay, The Dissertation Upon Roast Pork. Mundus Edibilis. My body is an immoral restaurant. I welcome you to my table, immaculately set, of course, and we consider the absurdity of an amuse-bouche. Miniatures have no place here. We discourse about appetizers, among them a reckless country pâté en croûte, sad little oysters baked in bechamel and saffron, and a gratuitous salad option with pork cracklings and a poached egg. I am entitled to the loneliness of my interminable appetite, the perverse generosity of limitless entrees, an entire subsection of breads and pastas. Every sinew here has a knife and fork, asks for an aperitif and a second helping. I dismiss you since you can't keep up, sickening after several risottos. The blank-faced waiters offer a minty peach palate cleanser before a parade of cakes circling the cavity of my chest in a ritual dance. Then the meal begins again and again. Just two more poems. This next one is called Holding the Thought of Food, and then its absence. I build an armory for these dichotomies, the too much or the too little, depending on the forecast. Let's not talk about the pistachio macarons at that bakery, when what we really mean is let's live off lettuce and cigarettes and always be able to wriggle into a seat on the crowded subway. How joy fills my mother's face when she eats squid ink paella, and how most other days she eats measured portions of grilled fish and egg whites. I want to eat together as much as I want to starve together. What else is love? This final poem takes its title from a Rihanna song. It's called "When I Look Outside My Window, I Can't Get No Peace of Mind." Demise might not happen today. What do I see? A large woman walking with two canes, a striation of exhaust fluid pooling in a leftover rain puddle from a downpour this morning that I watched intently from my windowsill while eating a yogurt. Believe everything is actually working against you because it is. Regardless of how much lipstick you put on, or whether or not the new deodorant actually responds to stress as advertised, which, by the way, it does not. But if it's possible, the mouth might still be sexy after grease spurts out of a burrito on the last bite. We may still be in the business of a survivable universe, or at least a tolerable one, which before it kills us, makes us visible.